Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, it is the evening runway. Elliot Dank and Timothy Goh and Chua Tintin with you. For now, let's take a look at local markets, Tintin.
If we look at local markets, basically Singapore shares open muted this morning following data released on economic growth as well as the central bank's move to stamp pad on monetary policy settings. Right now, let's just take you through some numbers that I'm seeing right now. The STI currently down 0.22% at 3,220 points. In terms of value turnover, 877 million Sing dollars. Now, gainers trailed losers 256 versus 325. Top five movers by value, we've got here DBS, Singtel, OCBC, Yangtze Shipbuilding, Sing dollars, and UOB. In terms of companies to watch for today, we do have Jardine Cycle and Carriage. Now, what is happening here is that the conglomerate said Jean-Pierre Fellenbock, if I pronounce his name correctly, he'll join the company's board from April 29th as a non-executive independent director. Now, Fellenbock was the founder of Bain Indonesia and has been an advisory partner for Bain Southeast Asia since 2022. Shares of Jardine Cycle and Carriage up 0.711%. Aside from that, we're also tracking Sabana Industrial REIT or Sabana REIT. Now, in a letter posted by Sabana REIT to the local boss yesterday, a few unit holders of the REIT voiced concerns about Quartz Capital and four other unit holders who are requisitioning a third EGM, Extraordinary General Meeting. Now, Chen Lai-kyung, who's a former independent non-executive director of the REIT, he called on the requisitionists to respect certain details that have been set out in the trust deed. Units of Sabana REIT down 1.35%.
All right. There is another company that made the news today, and that's Singtel, because of a new partnership.
Right. So, in fact, Singtel and Vietnam's largest telco company, Viettel, they've signed an MOU to plan and develop a submarine cable system that directly connects Vietnam and Singapore. And so this is called the Vietnam-Singapore cable system. It will be developed with a configuration of, a little bit jargony here, 8 fiber pairs using advanced wavelength division multiplexing technology. Okay, you can imagine a lot of tech involved. But basically, this VTS cable system, right, is scheduled to be operational by Q2 of 2027. It will be the shortest cable directly connecting both countries. It will also be the first cable with latest advanced bandwidth technology jointly established by Vietnam and Singapore's two largest telco operators. Singtel and Viettel said the upcoming VTS will provide a large amount of high-speed capacity, open up a connection direction to the south, and enhance redundancy and security of Viettel's international connection infrastructure. Now, as far as share prices are concerned, when we look at Singtel, it was down 0.418% on last check. Now, speaking of Singtel, we want to also look at what's happening in Singapore more broadly, particularly on the economic data front, the monetary policy front as well. And the first thing on our minds is the Singapore economy, right? GDP numbers, advanced estimates out today. So according to those advanced estimates from the Ministry of Trade and Industry, Singapore's economy grew 2.7% year-on-year in the first quarter of 2024, which is an improvement from the previous quarter's 2.2% growth. But if we look at things from a seasonal adjusted quarterly basis, GDP was just up a marginal 0.1%, which is lower than the previous quarter's 1.2% growth. Both year-on-year, quarter-on-quarter expansion, they were also below economists' expectations. Economists in a Bloomberg poll, they expected the yearly figure to be 3%, and this came in at 2.7%. Economists expected 0.5% growth on a quarter-on-quarter basis. This came in at 0.1%. Now, what is worthy of note in particular is manufacturing growth slowed to 0.8% year-on-year in Q1, down from 1.4% expansion in the previous quarter. And we look at things on a sequential basis, right? Manufacturing sector actually contracted by 2.9% compared to that, 4.5% growth in the previous quarter.
Well, that is a top story. If you head over to the Straits Times and Business Times, you'll take a look at policy and how MAS is standing pat, in particular on April's monetary policy, as expected.
Right. So if we look at the MAS, as we know, we manage monetary policy based on the SNEA, right? The Singapore dollar nominal effective exchange rate. And the MAS has left the monetary policy settings unchanged this time around, which is in line with market expectations. It also left its headline and core inflation projections unchanged. So both are expected to average 2.5 to 3.5% this year. Now, the MAS said the Singapore economy is expected to strengthen over 2024, growth becoming more broad-based, and the slightly negative output gap is projected to narrow further in the second half of 2024, even as underlying inflationary pressures gradually dissipates. But just to bring you some context as to when the policy was last changed, it was actually last changed back in October 2022. What happened then was that the midpoint of that near policy band was recentered higher to the prevailing level. No change was made to the band's slope or the width, and that was actually the last of five straight tightening moves, two of which were off-cycle adjustments, which began all the way back in October 2021. So right now, standing pat.
All right, Singapore not the only place talking about monetary policy. You've also got an eye on Korea.
Right, people standing pat, right? South Korea also standing pat. The Bank of Korea kept the benchmark interest rates on hold in the decision, underscoring its aim to rein in inflationary pressure in a steady manner, especially so after an election setback for the ruling party. If you recall, rising costs of living that were high on the minds of voters when they cast their ballots on Wednesday's parliamentary election, which resulted in a major defeat for President Yoon Suk-yeol's ruling party. So where rates are concerned, South Korea's central bank today kept the 7-day repurchase rate at 3.5%, which is a level it characterizes as restrictive. Now, the move marked its 10th consecutive decision, the BOK's 10th straight decision, to hold since it last hiked rate in early 2023. The move also in line with market expectations. But basically, the decision shows that the board remains worried about inflation, which really outstripped expectations and much is still above the bank's 2% target.
Okay, from that, let's move on to the United States. And of course, the U.S. likes to release a lot of data, especially at the end of the week. Producer
yes.
prices, one of them in particular. What are we looking at and what does that do for investor sentiment?
Yeah, earlier in the week, we're just talking about how the U.S. consumer prices were making our blood boil, right? It's way hotter than expected. But when it comes to producer prices, U.S. producer prices increased moderately in March. Why? A rise in the cost of services was softened by a fall in goods prices. That sort of calmed fears of a resurgence in inflation. Now, if we look at the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics, it said the producer price index for final demand was up 0.2% in March after increasing by an unrevised 0.6% in February. Economists polled by Reuters had forecast a gain of 0.3%. And if we look at a yearly basis, the PPI was up 2.1% after rising 1.6% in February. What that means is that the report from the Labor Department led economists to anticipate perhaps milder increases in inflation measures tracked by the Fed for monetary policy relative to that very strong consumer price readings we saw for March out just midweek. If you recall, we talked about that CPI, right? It increased more than expected in March for a third straight month. And if we look at investor sentiments, last night on Wall Street, it ended mostly higher. And in particular, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ between 0.74% and 1.68% higher at market close.
What else are we looking at today?
We are also looking at gold. Basically, if we look at gold prices, it's scaled to record high on geopolitical tensions and demand for the safe haven metal. If we look at spot gold, up 0.6% at $2,386 and 38 cents per ounce as of about 9 a.m. Singapore time. And the bullion actually hit a record high of $2,389 and 29 cents earlier in the session. So always a lot to watch as we head into the U.S. earnings season, particularly today where we have more news, corporate earnings from the big bank titans, including JP Morgan and Citigroup.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.